Amen. Pleasant. Good morning. Praise the Lord, saints of God. Good to be here again. I'm just a spare tire this morning. I understand Brother Jackie Benton was supposed to be here, and because of his health, he couldn't. But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad Brother Jerry called me. It's good to be back with you, seeing everybody. And I pray that I can be a blessing. And I pray even more so that you can be a more blessing to me. Y'all may be seated. I'm going to sing you a song or two. I'm going to put this down. Seems like we always have storms in our lives. Jesus never said they wouldn't come. But he promised a grace and a power to take us through. Amen. So here we are until the storm passes by. Out on the waters, storms raging high. Around them they were troubled that night. Fear filled their hearts as they felt they would die. They failed to remember that the Master was nigh. He spoke the words and the wind stood still. Even the waters, they obey his will. He calmed their storm like he will mine. If I can remember that he lives deep inside, why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he always stays near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. We read in the Bible when he walked with them, brought light to darkness when the way grew dim. How great it would be to have his footsteps in mine and walk with the Master all of the time. When trials come and death seems so nigh, I'll call on the Master. I know he'll be there on time. When sickness comes and my body's in pain, all I have to do is call on his name. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he always stays near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. We read in the Bible when he walked with them, brought light to darkness when the way grew dim. How great it would be to have his footsteps in mine and walk with the Master all of the time. When trials come, death seems so near, I'll call on the Master. I know he'll be there on time. When sickness comes and my body's in pain, all I have to do is
is call on his name. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he always stays near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name when the storm passes by. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he always stays near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. Praise the Lord.
The Lord. May we all stand this morning. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Acts, the 26th chapter, and we'll start reading with the 15th verse, and I'll ask you to keep your Bibles handy. A little thought the Lord gave me. If I could have a text or a title, I would call it The Absolute. The Absolute. Acts 26, verse 15. And I said, this is Paul speaking now. Paul is giving a recount of this. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now notice, Paul knew who the Lord was. And out of a clear blue sky, Jesus speaks. So it shows that Jesus is the Lord. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, and whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, he's talking to King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but shewed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Let's just take this thought this morning that we have just read, and let's just bow our heads and our hearts. Lord Jesus, we come this morning proudly to come before your throne of grace boldly, Lord. And God, we thank you that these people could gather out this morning and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, as we praised and worship you and sang songs to your glory, may you come now in the most important part of the word. And Lord, may you come and Lord, just give such a richness of the Holy Spirit to the people this morning to receive your word. Bless your servant that's here speaking, Lord. May my thoughts not be my own, but may they be yours. We again ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the people says, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Y'all may be seated. I'm certainly looking forward to the end of the month. I think Brother Jerry has me for Thursday and Friday night on October 29th and 30th. And I've just been praying here the last couple of weeks on what the Lord would have me to speak. And I hope it's a tremendous revival meeting. Amen. If there's any a group of people that need revival, it's the bride. Just because we believe the message and say God sent a prophet and believe all the elements of the message, that's a wonderful thing. We still need revival. Brother Branham said in the summer of 1963, always stay in revival. Never let revival go out. But this thought that I would like to have again, now please turn with me to Acts 23, verse 11. Here Paul is giving a recount of this situation, this heavenly vision that he had of the Lord Jesus and the Lord giving him the instructions that he did. And we want to tie this together, and we'll take it from here. Acts 23, verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Now, here we are. Brother Branham preached the message called The Absolute the morning in 1962, and I believe it was December the 30th. He preached it in the morning, and that evening he preached, Sirs, Is This the Time? And then Brother Branham comes about 2 weeks before he preaches the seals. Probably, I believe it's around March the 4th, Brother Branham preaches the Absolute again in Houston, Texas. And I have wondered, Brother Jim, I have wondered probably for many years, and finally the Lord revealed it to me this past summer, why Brother Branham takes his Texas from these scriptures. I mean, why if you're going to preach the Absolute, why would you take such a text? Why would we, and seemingly, you know, the text kind of maybe doesn't fit in to wait to the subject matter. Maybe it would have been better if we would have used St. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, and how we need the written Word, and how we need to study the Bible and study to show. I mean, that's all good absolute scriptures. But I want to make a point here this morning. When the prophet of God was preaching the absolute, he wasn't, now most message people would say, yes, I believe in absolute. Well, why do you believe in an absolute? Where is your, well, Brother Branham's my absolute. And he revealed the Word of God. That's wonderful, amen. And I'm going to say 100% to that. Well, Brother Bo, I've got tapes and I've got books and that's my absolute. And I go by them. I do too, 100%. But Brother Branham, when he preached the absolute, given these scriptures that we have read, he wasn't necessarily basing the absolute that we would say the absolute would be. He's not necessarily placing the absolute on such a thing as maybe listen to my tapes, play my tapes, stay with the tapes, stay with the book, say what I say. But he's basing it on the experience that Paul had with the Lord Jesus. Amen. Saints of God, I want to tell you, yes, I believe this is my absolute. Yes, these quotes are my absolute. Yes, the prophet of God, the messages that he preached is my absolute. But unless you have had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's only knowledge. Amen. You don't have to be born again and have the Holy Ghost to say God sent a prophet, or we believe this, or Brother Branham said this, or I believe the Bible. And that's good, all absolute terminology. But you have got to have an experience. And what was Brother Branham showing reading these scriptures? He was showing Paul's experience that he had with the Lord Jesus. You say, well, Brother Bo, I mean, Paul was a prophet. Paul was an apostle. I'm not going to have that kind of experience. Maybe not, but you will have an experience. Amen. This is what we've got. Young people this morning, this is what you have got to have, an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Being raised in a message home. Amen. I agree 100%. Train up a child in the way he would go. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. We have a generation of young people today that were totally raised in message homes, and we praise God for that. But guess what? Unless you have a born again Holy Ghost experience, that's got to seal it inside of you. Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs 16:25. Now, without that experience, many times we go this way. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. My opinions are not my opinions. Your opinions are not your opinions, amen? I don't want my ways that I think it should be this way, or I should be this way, or it should be this way, amen? His opinions is what counts. Amen. Now, continue to turn with me as we go into this morning. Judges 17, verse 6. The book of Judges 17, verse 6. Now, I pray to God, us as message folks, never get into this condition. But I'm finding more and more people are. Judges 17, verse 6. Now, we have a king, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he is the king of our lives. Can I get amen on that? He lives in your heart. His throne room is not just in heaven, but it's in your heart. Amen. Where is the throne of God? There were three thrones. One was in heaven. We can say amen. Say amen to that. How many believe the throne room was in Christ Jesus? Now, Brother Branham said it was transferred from Christ Jesus to the bride. How many believe the throne of God lives in your heart? Amen. You want to find the throne? You want to find the judgment seat of Christ right now? It's right here. Amen. That's why we come to the house of God. Our judgment is now, saints of God. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. Amen. We don't have to, we are spared from going through the tribulation period. Why? We come to this Word of God house. This Word of God is preached in such a manner that we line our lives up with it, saints of God. Amen. Notice now, Judges 17, verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I'm afraid a lot of message folks have come to this, saints. Well, you know, I think it should be this way, and I think the church should be this way, and I think we should be, and you know, I'm going to do it this way. Saints, we have one message, and we have one heaven. There's not a heaven for this group over here and this group over here and this. Amen. We have one message, and that is the message of the hour for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I looked up absolute. Absolute means perfect in itself, unlimited in power. Now, think now, saints. Come on now. It's more than just a message book. It's more than just a written word, which we adore. Amen. That's why when I have my Bible in my house, I never try to put anything on top of it. When I lay my Bible in the back of my car, I make certain nothing gets on top of it. When I put it in the front seat of my car, I make certain nothing gets on top of it. I like to keep it high and lifted up. Amen. However, I can know this backwards and forwards and not have a real reality and an experience with Jesus Christ. Now, an absolute, it's unlimited in power. It's the ultimate. It's the amen, which means so be it. It is perfection in itself. Now, Brother Branham says this when he's preaching the absolute. He said, now, if in your life you have an absolute, you do things ordinarily you would not do. See, it changes your course of life, amen, to make you a spiritual person. It doesn't cause you to act naturally and to react naturally. It causes you to do things in accordance with the way God would do it. He says here, especially if you're a God-centered life. The God-centered life makes a person do things that ordinarily they would not do. Amen. Very odd, very peculiar. Why is a Christian life so odd and peculiar? It is because they are looking to God's word, which is almost foreign to the world today. Amen. So it's a word-based, God-centered life. Amen. I'm going to tell you the way you handle yourself at work, the way you handle yourself around one another here, the way you handle one another, amen, in your homes. Come on now, saints. Amen. We don't react the way the world does. Turn with me to Ezekiel 36. Now, Brother Branham brings this out for us, and I thank God we had a prophet in this hour to interpret the word of God for us. Ezekiel 36, 24. For I will take you from among the heathen. All right? Well, Brother Bo, that's speaking about Israel. Well, it is, but it's also speaking about a spiritual Israel. That's me and you. Haven't we come from among the heathen? I want to tell you, saints, if the world is ever in a heathenistic condition, it is today. And gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Now, what land is that talking about? That's talking about the promised land called the Holy Ghost. Remember, Israel's promised land was Canaan land, was a natural land, but the bride's promised land is the Holy Ghost. Now listen, verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. Now, the washing of the water by the word. Brother Branham says it this way, the bloody, bleeding word to wash the bride. Amen. You say, well, Brother Bo, you know, I really don't need to go to church. I can just stay home and play a tape. Well, for those that want to do that, that don't want to sit under a pastor, let me tell you what God's going to do then. He's going to hold you accountable for every word on that tape that was either playing in your bedroom, playing in your kitchen, amen, playing in your living room while you maybe watch television or something. I know message people watch television, play tapes at the same time. How they do that, I have no idea. God's going to hold you accountable for 1,188 tapes. Well, we don't need a pastor. We'll just stay home and we'll just play a tape. Well, let me tell you, God's going to hold you accountable. Amen. Now, here I will sprinkle clean water upon. Do you realize, saints of God, every time you come to church and hear anointed man of God, that's the rhema going out of the word and it's cleansing you. And that has to be on a continual basis. When you rub shoulders with the world, when you go to school, amen, and you have to do things in life maybe that necessarily you don't want to do, amen, and because the law requires it, you have to work. We have, brothers, we have to have a job. We have to go to school. The law says all this, amen. We would be an infidel if we didn't. But here's the thing. We come to church and we get washed by the water of the word. Amen. I will cleanse you, verse 26. A new heart also I will give you. You mean you got to have a new heart? Absolutely, you got to have a new heart. I will give you a new heart. Because your old heart is too mean. It's hateful. It likes to get revenge. It likes to cuss. When things get so bad, people just go off and they'll cuss. I hear it. They need a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. Or I will put a new spirit, a new spirit will I put within you. Now, let's hold it right there. Many times we get confused and say, well, that's the Holy Ghost. No, it's not. God has to give you a new spirit to believe the message. That's not the Holy Spirit. Many people get fooled in sanctification. And they think because they've been sanctified, they think because they have a new spirit to believe the word, that's automatically the Holy Ghost. Don't get confused. The prophet of God tells us this, interprets this for us, saints of God. That's just a new spirit. You got a new spirit that people can get along with you. Amen. Most people can't get along with one another. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Notice now, verse 27. Now notice this proof, the word of God is perfect. Amen. And I will put my spirit within you. Well, wait a minute. I thought the new spirit was my Holy Ghost spirit. No. Then, after I clean you up, amen, after I cleanse you, amen, and I keep cleansing you, after I have sanctified you, then I will put my spirit in you. You say, Brother Bo, I don't think that's too much going to happen. Well, I'm going to tell you, in order to go in the rapture, you got to have this. Amen. Saints, we're living in a serious hour. We're living in a serious hour. First time in history, the Pope came and not just visited the White House, not just went to the UN in New York City, but he went into the chambers of the House of Representatives and the Senate where laws are made. First time in history. First time in history. Every member of the Supreme Court, except two, are Catholic. The other two are Jewish. Tells you where we're at. Verse 28, and ye shall dwell in a land that I give to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now, what land is that? That's called the Holy Ghost land for the bride. And I will save you from your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will supply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you receive no more reproach of famine among the brethren. Then ye shall remember your evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Now notice now, he will increase our food. Amen. Now we hear the scripture and we've quoted it for years. There's a famine in the land. There's a famine in the land. There's a famine in the land. Now what does the word actually say? There's a famine in the land. There's a famine in the land of hearing the word. There's not a famine in the word of Bibles. There's plenty of Bibles. All you got to do is order a couple books, get a couple tapes, go online. You can get VGR up. There's plenty message material. There's not a famine as far as the message material. There's tapes everywhere. There's books everywhere. You can do it online. But where is the famine? Hearing the word, saints. There's such a lack of the preaching of the word for this hour. I want us to go, I brought this out last night to the people. I want us to go to St. John 15, verse 5. I believe it's going to be the capstone of this message this morning. St. John 15, verse 5. St. John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him. He that abideth in me, that's relationship. He that abideth in me, that's a relationship between you and Jesus Christ. And I in him, that's fellowship with Jesus Christ in you. Relationship and fellowship go together. Amen. Now here, saints of God, I was telling the people last night, brothers and sisters, let me put it this way. Well, Brother Bo, the Baptists preach that. Amen, they do. Pentecost preaches that, and they do. Seemingly, sometimes Baptists can have more relationship, as they call it, with Jesus than we as message folks do. Amen. And many times Pentecostals can come up with a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ than we do. But wait a minute now. Their relationship, the Baptist's relationship is through a Jesus that's the second person of the Trinity. Many of the Pentecostals, they really don't know the clearness and the correctness of the Godhead. So their revelation of Jesus, their relationship with Jesus is a revelation really of a false Jesus. A Jesus that's in error, where we as the bride of Christ, with such an absolute in this hour, we can have a true relationship with the pureness of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, saints of God. I want to tell you, there's no excuse for anybody around this message that claims not to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your absolute. Sure, books are essential. Sure, tapes are sure, all this is essential. But it must be bound together with an absolute that is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, Brother Bo, all this is knowledge, meaning we really need to have, absolutely we need to have, we need to know about serpency. We need to know about the Godhead. We need to know about the seals in the church. But it's got to have a relationship inside of you, saints. Jesus said here, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, ye can do nothing. Without him, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, well, Brother Bo, I read a book and I said this, and Mama taught me this about the seals, and my daddy taught me. Good, wonderful, wonderful. What's it produced in your life? Well, I've got the wrong girlfriend, and I've got the wrong boyfriend, and I married him. Now we're going to get a divorce and all. You didn't have an absolute. You have a knowledge. You have a knowledge. You have a knowledge of the word, but it didn't produce anything in your life. Come on, saints, this is serious. Our young people are because of a lack of a relationship with the Lord Jesus, amen, they know all this message, but they're not coming out and having a life about it. It is serious, saints of God. I'm tired of the devil stealing away our young people when they are our future. How many all have had your young, had your children, your grand, stolen away to the world? Yet you taught them correctly, the mess, correct. What happened? Was it your fault? No. They never had that experience. You taught them, Brother Branham. You taught them a long dress, long hair. You taught them all of that, rightfully so. You taught them who to acquaint with and who not to. All of that, but they didn't have a relationship. An absolute that could hold them. Come on, saints, my kids are in the same boat. We got this habit, and I do. I give preferential treatment. I do. We assume that if a child's been raised in the message, when he gets 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, he's automatically a message believer. And I give that. I give that courtesy to mothers and fathers, grandparents. I give everybody that courtesy. But young people this morning, just because you have been raised in a message home, that don't automatically make you a message believer that's going into the rapture. You've got to have that relationship with Jesus Christ as your absolute. Listen what Jesus says here now. If a man, verse 6, abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gathered them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, this will be my climax of scripture right here. If ye abide in me, that's a relationship. If ye abide in me, Jesus is repeating himself, but he's adding something more. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Then ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, saints of God, read your Bible. What's the stipulation? What's Jesus saying? What's the stipulation now? Well, if I abide in him, well, I abide in him. Okay, I'll take your word for it. But does this word of God abide in you? See, we press panic button on Facebook when we get a bad diagnosis from the doctor, or something goes wrong, or this, that, and the other, and we press the, everybody pray for me, everybody pray for me. And if I need prayer, I'm going to post it there. Hey, amen. I'm not a Facebook bouncer. Okay, I'm not going to come in here and tell you, nail you down for having Facebook. I got it myself. But here's the thing, we press the panic button on Facebook for everybody to pray for us. And oh God, I'm in such a, amen. And I thank God for that. We can do that. But is his word abiding in you? And my words abide in you. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. And that word there means rhema, which means the living, the word, the Logos word has come into you. It has been quickened. It's become a living element inside of you. Amen. It's become a living element inside of you that you can vocalize it out. and speak it out. My words, what is Rhema? It is the portion of the word that is coming forth. It's being uttered by a living body. Not just, no, well, I know Brother Adam. Well, I know certain seed daddy taught that. Well, I know this, I know that. Amen. Wonderful. Thank God we got moms and dads to teach the children. But is that a living, integral part of you? Is it living inside of you? Come on, say, this is how we get prayers answered. We all, how many need prayer? We all need prayers answered. But Jesus says, you know, we got this mindset. All we got to do is just throw our hands in the air and say, Jesus, help me. And I do. I support that. But Jesus says on how to do it. If ye abide in me, that means a relationship with God. And my words abide in you. My word, not just my doctrines alone. Look, I'm not a message believer by doctrine. I tell people, I'm an apostolic Christian, not by doctrine, but by experience. I'm an apostolic Christian, not just because I believe baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I believe in the God. That don't make me an doctrine. Doctrine don't make me an apostolic Christian. I contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Amen. I'm Pentecostal, not by denomination, not by doctrine. I'm Pentecostal by experience. I'm a message believer, not by a certain doctrine. Not just because I believe William Branham is a prophet, and that, you know, that categorizes me as a believer. I'm not a message believer on that sort. Although I believe William Branham was a prophet of God, sent to this last generation to dress the bride and to clothe her with the word. But that alone don't make me a believer. If ye abide in me and my word abide in you. Well, I abide in him. I believe in the Lord Jesus. I trust the Lord. My word abide in you. And my word abide in you. We were at my cousin's wedding up in Louisville, Kentucky 2 weeks ago. Brother Brad Burgess's church. Brother Brad Burgess spoke that morning. And there was all my cousins sitting there, and they're in their early 20s and teens, and the rest of a lot of young people sitting there. Church was full of young people, and thank God for it. But he turned to the young people and he said this. He said, you're looking for friends. Everybody wants friends, especially young people want friends. They want to hang out, right? You want to hang out, right? You want to hang out. It's a big thing. Hang out. Oh, we want to go to Nashville, and we want to go to Louisville. We want to go to Gatlinburg. We want to go here. We want to go there. Amen. I hear all that. We want to hang out. We want friends. Well, let me say this to you. My best advice to you this morning, find Jesus as your best friend. Well, Brother Bo, yes, you can talk to him. Well, he don't talk back. Yes, he does. He talks back. He talks back maybe ways we don't necessarily think it's going to happen, but he speaks back to us. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me is in my heart a ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. You find Jesus first. Find him. Find Jesus as your friend. You'll think twice who you want to hang with. Oh, we want to hang out in Nashville. We want to hang out in Memphis. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Pastor told the young people, right? Am I right? Am I wrong? You want your friends? Amen. Let God give you friends. You let him choose who you hang out with. Because all you got to do is hang out with the wrong person. And they got you on a road to destruction. If you're married, they'll break up your marriage. If you got kids, they may cause your kids to go on a road of destruction. Yeah. Yeah, just get in trouble with the law one time and get a felony slapped on you. Get your felony slapped on you, especially if you deal with drugs. You know what happens? You won't hardly find a job anywhere. Well, we did a background check. Believe me, I worked doing background checks. We tried to hire a girl in our office. We did a background check on her. She was arrested 5 or 6 times for prostitution. She's got a felony on her record. Prostitution is illegal. My boss said, no, no way, no way. Just get your felony on your record. Uh-huh. You can't even work in Shoney's, probably. The best you can do is get some off-private carpenter and be his sidekick. And he pays you under the table. Come on, saints of God. Oh, we want to hang out. We want to hang out this morning. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will. Come on, saints. How many times, Brother Branham told us, how many times before you come in the prayer line, let there be nothing between me and my Savior. Get it all confessed under the blood. He is more than faithful to forgive. Amen. Don't stand in a prayer line with sin in your life and things hanging on your life. Confess it to the Lord Jesus. He can forgive everything about it. There is a way back. I'm not preaching negatively this morning. I'm preaching in a positive manner. I'm showing how we need to do it, saints of God. Jesus tells us how to do it. If ye abide in me, that's a relationship. And my word abide in you. Amen. Then ask what you will. How many's got the word abiding in them? Well, I know this doctrine. I know that doctrine ain't going to get you, saints of God. Many times doctrine, and I believe Brother Branham said this: a man that won't preach sound doctrine in his church ain't going to have much of a church. I believe that. I say 100% amen. Paul told Timothy, preach sound doctrine. But just doctrine alone, it's going to cause you to separate from a lot. Amen. Brother Bo, you're saying things both out of both sides of your mouth. Well, wait a minute. Most of the time, when message folks go on doctrine and doctrine and doctrine only, it's the wrong doctrine. Brother Horner, I've been in Tennessee 20 years last month. And most of the folks out there, they wanted me to preach the tent doctrine. We only want to hear preachers from VGR and Branham Tabernacle. I said, well, I'm not one of them. I try to stay away from that mess up there, okay? Because it's a holy war going on right now. Brother Collins, he's resigned. This one's resigned. That one resigned and everything. It's a bunch of war up there in Jeffersonville. And guess what? Brother Bo stays out of it. Amen. It's not going to get us anywhere. Let me tell you, fighting around the message, fighting over property, who's got what, and owns this, and who's got the title deed to this, and did Brother Collins have this, and Brother Branham, Sister Branham signed off on this, saints of God, that ain't going to get us nowhere. Come on now. Well, I'm going to take sides, Brother Bo. Well, I hope you take sides with the Lord Jesus, because if you take sides with the Lord Jesus, you'll say, just let him have it. If a brother takes your coat, give him your cloak also. Go ahead. You all want this property's title deeded to this, the tabernacle, part of the floor of the tabernacle's title deeded to V. Let him take it. Go ahead. So I came 20 years ago. Officially, we moved there. Heller was there 4 months before that. And It wanted me to preach a certain doctrine. Well, when someone always talks about a certain doctrine, most of the time, rule of thumb, it's the wrong doctrine. I told them this, I am here to preach the revelation of Jesus Christ that has been revealed by God's prophet, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, St. Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 1 through 7, Matthew 17, 11. I am commissioned to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by revelation from Genesis to Revelation, not just one doctrine. Not just one doctrine. You're never going to make the rapture on one doctrine. Yeah, that's what I mean. I believe in preaching sound doctrine, but the true doctrine. Brother Branham tells us this. What is the Holy Ghost? Message preached. Now, there is a vast difference between just a Christian and a Holy Ghost filled Christian. Now, not only is it a difference, but a vast difference. See, the bride is a Holy Ghost filled Christian. Mm-hmm. Tribulation saints are Christians that are not filled with the Holy Ghost. And now we're going to get this from Scripture and place it exactly in the Scripture. The first place, there is a Christian, professed to be a Christian, but if this Christian has not been filled with the Holy Ghost, he's only in the process of being a Christian. He is professed to believe. He's working to it, but God has not yet given him this Spirit of the Holy Ghost. He has not reached that goal with God, that God has recognized it. Oh. So, you mean in our process of spiritual growth, from justification to sanctification, from sanctification to baptism of the Holy Ghost, from sanctification to baptism of the Holy Ghost, then it's when God recognizes whether we're ready or not to receive the Holy Ghost. Acts 5:32 says, he gives the Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, how many believe that? Amen. To those that obey him. Lord have mercy, last year, I went over to get my car washed. Dyersburg in the spring is loaded at AutoZone and all these different places, McDonald's and KFC and different places. They have all these car washes for school events and church events. So, Lord have mercy, I pulled over there at AutoZone and I saw some people over there, and the women had long hair and long dresses and different things. And I said, how much you charge to wash my car? And they said, well, it's whatever you want to give. And I said, okay, all right, well, I'll give you something. You wash my car real good. I said, it's got a lot of bugs on the window and up in the front, if you can get them off for me. And I said, sisters, you're dressed like a Christian woman. Yeah, we are. Okay. And I'm glad I saw that. So she said, well, you need to meet our pastor. Well, pastor come over, and jolly guy, about 39, 40 years old. He told me how old he was and all, and he had a church down there where close to where our church was called Temple of Praise. So I said, well, we talked 5 or 6, 7 minutes. He said, well, when's your church? I said, we got church on Saturday night, and then we got it on Sunday morning. He said, well, I might come down tonight. Well, I went down to church about 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon, and all of a sudden he walked in. And he's a tremendous piano player. I mean, he made our piano just walk. He said, get over on the organ. I heard you play the organ. And I said, getting all right. He could sing the house down. Real Brother Shannon, tremendous brother. So I said, brother, have you ever heard of Brother Branham? He said, yes, I have. And I said, well, look at this church age book right here. He said, is that Brother Branham? I said, yeah, that's Brother Branham. Can I have it? I said, certainly. He said, I tell you what, I can't come tonight, but why don't you come to my church tomorrow night? If you don't have church on Sunday night, I said, no. So I went down there. Well, Lord have mercy. I went in, and I loved the music. He was playing the keyboard, had somebody on the piano, he was on the keyboard, somebody on the drums and all. Lo and behold, the same sisters that were dressed right, like Christian, were few, far, and in between. I mean, I saw a bunch of y'all's age. They were all in a corner, about six or seven of them, around this cell phone, and they were texting. And then they would stop texting, and this one would go, and the mother would go, and the father would go, and the grandmother would go, grandfather would go. The bathroom was on the left side of the church, and there was a kitchen up there. Well, they would come out drinking a pop. They had a Pepsi, they had Mountain Dew, and they'd come out swigging on it. And they would sit there in their seat and swig on them. So the piano player, he got up. He had one in his pocket hanging outside like this great big Coke bottle. I said, Lord, have mercy. Well, his daughter, pastor's daughter, she's about 16, 17 years old. He said, well, I had all my kids early in life. I said, so did I. So she's up there, and man, her mini skirt's up there. She was gothic. She had black lipstick on. She had a piercing in her tongue. She had piercings all in her face, piercings in her ears. She had her hair dyed coal black. She had her eyebrows black. She had black false eyelashes sticking up. And she's trying to sing. She up there, and she could sing. The girl could sing. She had probably inherited it from her daddy. The girl could sing Break Every Chain. Well, I don't know if that, you know, chains like that need to come off. Feel like, sister, let me come up there and break your chains. So he said, Brother Smeaton, come up here. So he had everybody jumping and screaming, and people were, and they had a big choir up there, women with their pants on, and they're jumping and hollering. Look, I believe in all that jumping and hollering, saints, but, you know, I mean, hey, and I'm not a legalist. I mean, everybody has to grow. And, you know, he said, now, pray, help me pray for these people to get the Holy Ghost. Well, that scripture kept ringing, not in my mind, in my heart. He gives the Spirit to those who obey him. I'm not talking about just to jump up and down. I'm not talking about just to speak in tongues. And I believe in, y'all heard me speaking in tongues here back in May. I believe in all that, saying, I believe in jumping up and down. But the Holy Ghost, I'm talking about the sealing of the Holy Ghost. Where the scripture says, grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby you are sealed until your day of redemption. Where the Holy Ghost seals you, seals the word out of you, the world out of you, seals unbelief out of you, seals the wrong kind of people out of you to hang out with. Sure, the Holy Ghost can fall on you, make you cry, make you shout, make you dance. Amen. But that ceiling has to come down in your heart. That's when God feels you're ready. Not when you feel you're ready. Of course, I believe he'll let you know you're ready. When God says, okay, he's ready for the Holy Ghost. Okay, he's ready for the true baptism of the Holy Ghost to get sealed in his heart. He's ready. He's ready. Brother Ram said, here, listen now. God made a covenant with Abraham after he called Abraham, which is a type of calling the believer today. He called Abraham. Abraham moved out of his country and went into a strange land to dwell amongst strange people. And that was a type of when God calls a man to stop his meanness, repent of his sins. He turns then from the crowd that he was in to live in a new crowd among new types of people. And then after God found Abraham to be faithful to the promise that God gave him, that he would have a child and we'd be blessed, then God confirmed his faith by giving him a sign. And that confirmation of Abraham's faith was circumcision. And circumcision is a type of the Holy Spirit. So God gives us the sign of circumcision by giving us the Holy Ghost. And what is circumcision? Proud flesh is cut off. Come on, saints, too much flesh around the message. It's entirely too much flesh around the message. Predominantly. Flesh is not supposed to. This is a message where flesh is circumcised. How does that happen, Brother Bo? It happens by the Holy Ghost. When you're ready, when you've got your mind made up, your heart set right, you're on your way to the Canaan land and you know the devil can't stop you. Amen. Where are we at, saints of God? Absolute. 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 I wonder for those of you that are Bible scholars and message scholars, I wonder for many, many times, why did Brother Branham open up and preach the absolute using those scriptures? When maybe, wouldn't it have been better if he used in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God? And how important it is to stay with scripture and how important it is. And maybe Brother Brown could have added, stay with these tapes, say what I say, let these tapes always go back to these tapes. Amen. I support all of that 100% plus. Let me say even above 100%, 200% plus. But he went back to Paul's encounter with Jesus Christ. There's your absolute, saints. You have a real encounter with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this message will come in line as your absolute also. You won't want to hang out with the world. When I was in high school, when I was in junior high and senior high, they called it junior high back then, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. Senior high was 10th, 11th, and 12th when I went to school. Now it's middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th, and high school, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. I was always the oddball. I was always the oddball. Well, come on, go to the dance, go to the prom, go to this. No. Heavy metal was coming in. Heavy metal was in. Kiss was in. Why do I want to hang out? When I was a young boy and had a very special experience with the Lord Jesus that changed my life and give me a taste of what heaven's like. There it is, saints. We got to get to that experience with Him. May we stand this morning. Brother Nate, come up here and help me out, young man. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Give me a key of C, Brother Jimmy. Oh, shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face, while I'm gaining more power to run in life's race. Oh, I love to be shut in with God. Oh, shut in with God.
secret place, for it's there in the Spirit, beholding His face, while I'm getting more power to run in life's race. I love to be shutting with God.
I've come to a stage in my life, and I never used to do this, but I'm telling about a lot of the experiences that I had with the Lord. And I can remember when I was 19 years old. I was still home, and I wasn't married to Joyce yet. And Mom and Dad went out. They went out to fellowship with some of the church people. They were planning a Labor Day picnic. It was Labor Day weekend, September. They were planning a great big Labor Day picnic the next day. Every year we'd have a Labor Day picnic. We had a Memorial Day picnic, 4th of July, and the Labor Day picnic would be the closeout of the summer. Who's going to cook the corn and who's going to grill the corn? We would have grilled corn and all of this. And when Mom and Dad would go out and fellowship and talk about the Lord and talk about the Word, sometimes go to 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I had the whole house by myself. I was reading in Daddy's Bible, St. Luke 24, about when Jesus rose and two of the disciples were on their road to Emmaus. It was a 6-hour journey. And how Jesus appeared to them and talked to them. And he disguised himself, Brother Nate, that they would know him. And they were talking with him. And I was sitting there, all the experiences that I have had in the past with him as a boy. And all of a sudden, I felt like, do I really know him? Is he a stranger to me like he was to them? And all of a sudden, he came into the room and he changed that world. And I wept from about 7 in the evening to maybe 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. Just cried as hard as I could, wept bitterly. Oh, Jesus, you're so wonderful. You came to me. You came to me. You came to me. Oh, it was so, I could never, Brother Nate, I could never explain to you in English words or any kind of language the presence that he came. And then at the end of that, at the tail end of that, this awesome fear came. Brother Brandon would talk about this awesome fear. He said, now the Lord comes, and when it's shouting and dancing and praising, that's the blessing of the Lord. But then when his real presence comes, it's an awesome, dreaded fear. To where I couldn't even turn around. I was afraid I'd see him standing right behind me. Let me tell you, that was an experience I had with him. And that remains in my heart. No matter how much knowledge I have, I go back to that experience that he came to me. You may not have that intensity of a relationship, but I want to testify I had one. Brother Bo, you putting that on any kind of evidence as the whole? No, I'm not putting that on any kind of evidence. But all I can say is, and I've told my wife many times over, if I could ever get back to that place where he took me. Maybe I will someday. Maybe when I get my body change, I will. Oh, saints, don't miss it. Don't miss your absolute this morning. Sure, we hold to tapes. We hold to what Brother Branham said. But don't let it just be a knowledge that you know. I know people in West Tennessee right now that used to come to my church. They could tell you what color dress Sister Branham had on April 22nd, 1962, when Brother Branham preached restoration. They could tell you what color shoes Brother Joseph had on that morning. They could tell you what color dresses Sister Rebecca and Sister Sarah had on that morning. But none of them can't live right and can't stay married. Divorced 3 and 4 times. Nobody can live right. Come on now. We don't need that kind of a message, saints. I'm talking about the prophet of God never left us a message as such. Oh, shut in with God in a secret place. For there in the spirit, beholding his face, for I'm gaining more power to run in life's race, for I love to be shut in with God. Amen. Before I turn the microphone over to Brother Nate, if you have a need this morning, God's more than willing to meet your need, whatever your need may be. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and Jesus said, it shall be done. He withholds no good thing to those that obey and trust him. You need prayer. God is more than able to touch you in prayer. God is more than able to meet your need in your life. If you have a spiritual need in your life, God is more than able to perform that and exceedingly abundantly above all, even which we may ask and even think about. Oh, let's just sing it again. Oh, shut in with our God. Oh, in a secret place. Oh, there in the spirit, beholding his face. For I'm gaining more power to run in life's race. I love to be shut in with God.
rest is complete. All I say, let your feet, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Oh, sweep over my soul. Oh, sweep over my soul.